The National Transformation Initiative has teamed up with the world's leading provider of online education, Coursera, to provide Bajans free access to a wide range of training and educational material. Courses are available in business, the creative industries, tourism, information technology, personal development, and more. Thousands of Bajans have already jumped on the chance to enhance themselves and upskill with the fully online, fully accredited, and fully free courses. Many of the courses are short as 6 hours. Some are longer, as long as 6 months, but you can study at your own pace in your own time. And get this, no data charges will apply, so you can study anywhere, anytime. Go to training.nti.org.bb. training.nti.org.bb. There must be a course or two or three there for you, because you're never too good to get better.
23 minutes to 7 o'clock, the magnificent work of Mark Ford. And you heard two tracks from the album Steel and Soca, Steel and Soca, and Beautiful Barbados. Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Kevin Sluggy Dan is here, as well as our special guest. Good evening, Sluggy. Good evening.
Yes, yes, yes. We are here testing 15912. Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme on the nation's number one VOB 92.9 FM. Good evening to Mark Ford. Awesome. You all hear some awesome music. You know, he's a steel pan player, you know, a percussionist. He's a musician, educator as well. Mr. Clark, can you do us the honors, please, and tell Barbados just a little about the brilliance of Mark Ford? I think you sent you some info.
Indeed. Hailing from the island of Barbados, Mark Ford is a panist, percussionist, and drummer, well-versed in jazz and popular performance. He began playing the steel pan at the age of 12 at a summer camp, and then progressed to join the band at his secondary school. He then furthered his training at the Barbados Community College and the University of the West Indies, St. Augustine, where he attained his bachelor's degree in music with first-class honors, as well as the Newman Alexander Award for the top music student. His accolades also include a Gold Award from the National Independence Festival of Creative Arts in Barbados, NIFCA, in 2011. He also placed fifth overall in the inaugural edition of Panorama in 2020. Mark has been featured at many national events in Barbados and has toured extensively as God has given him the opportunity to grace stages throughout the Caribbean, England, and Qatar. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Ford.
Gosh, man, Mr. Mark Ford, thank you so much for joining us, bro. First off, good night. Thank you for coming on Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. And before we start these proceedings, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Yeah, it cool, man. It cool. And myself, I was spoiled because I know Mark from before, from BCC. I also know Mark from doing gigs as well. So I know firsthand the brilliance. I had a question I always wanted to ask you, Mark, before we get deep down in the album. I had a question I always wanted to ask you. From young, because when I met you, you were fairly young. From young, did you know how good you were? Did you sense that people used to react to you differently when you played the steel pan? You ever was aware of that?
From the sense of what you were asking, you would have said that people react a bit differently. I think I have seen that quite a while. For persons who are listening on the radio, they might not, for those who may have never seen me or don't know me, is a fairly short person, right? Not really much to look at physically. So I think there's always been the whole thing of, okay, here comes this guy, you're not a very large person. And then I go and I play, and persons then say, oh, well, he seemed a little unassuming off stage, right? But he played and we're impressed, right? I think that tends to be the narrative.
Listen, right, like these conversations, bro, like, as you know, is love. And I've never thought that would be the answer, but it's just a question that always burning in my mind, because when they meet you, the truth is, you know, you see you look small, you look younger than you were. I mean, you look real young, at about 11 years ago or so. And so you young now, so just imagine how young you were, but you look even younger. So then when you play, it was like, what is little man doing, boy? This little man body. That was always the reaction. So they get to know you over the years. Persons that might see you play for the first time, if you share a video or if you see you at an event or something, it would see the reaction, and I always wondered, Mark, be weird how people just get on me to see he play though. Like, I know people like Steel Pan, but people don't like Steel Pan that bad here. Mark, see the reaction he just get as opposed to everyone else. Like, obviously, we got some really great Steel Pan players, so it's not for lack of ability. Know that you've explained it right, you get me, that you champ it down to you probably your stature, being a short person, you know, quite unassuming. Then when you play so well, people probably is more pleasantly surprised than they were bargaining for. That's an interesting perspective. But you ever carried with you, well, you small, so you got to play the stand up, or it just naturally happened?
I think there was a point in time where it was impressed on me that I needed to play at a standout. I think not really in terms of my playing ability, but I do remember that at BCC especially, there were quite a few times that I was told by tutors, you know, you play really well, but you gotta work on your performance. And they say things like, you play really well to listen to, but no, people need to watch the performance and get something as well, right? I remember a tutor actually told me at some point, you play very well, and there are guys who can't play half as good as you, but they put on a better show or a more interesting performance, and they will always make more money, they will always get called first, right? And those are things that were told to me as a teenager, as a student. So it's something that I always had to try to work towards and work out, right? Because it was always an encouragement thing, in terms of the tutors and bigger team at BCC, Roger Gittins and my fellow tutors. I teach there now as well. But I remember that was always one of the things that was told to me coming up, right? Even at my alma mater, at the Columbia School, when I first joined, ironically, so when I first joined the steel band there.
Up and down, Ronnie. Up and down. My time goes there. So, where they go, where the more go, son, I goes there. No, he's still, no, he turned pumps. So he's still got a couple years. So, I can't no longer, man, Ronnie. Can't no longer hear from the up and down because.
But wait.
Not only my son, my only son.
But hold on.
Goes to Combermere
too. My daughter is in third form at Combermere too. So, you see how Sluggy and Ronnie in the same place 7 days a week?
Yes. Yes, correct. Can't stop your legacy. Can't stop your legacy, bro. It's for them, though. So up and on, Mark. Up and on, big Combermere. And Combermere got some big things coming up, too. So shout out to them for sure.
That's right.
yeah, go ahead, buddy. Even when it was in the Steel Orchestra there, when I first joined, one of the statements that we always used to get at, like, NIFCA and from other performances, they always said, the band sound real good, but y'all don't dance. Right, I remember that was what the comments made when they first joined. So I think coming up, especially in my later teens, is when persons really started to impress on me that playing well, being a good player, can't be the end of the job.
And listen, right, and That is so true. But it's interesting that you mentioned that it's things that people tell you to work on. Because believe it or not, that either or not, when we saw you, we'd already see the whole package. But then when it's you 2 years, like, oh gosh, Mark had more. You understand? So that's why, like, you know, like, it's always preach education, bro. Like, real, real talk. It's always preach training, some form of tutoring if you don't want to go to the college or dying for you, you know, find an expert, find a professional, you know me, and be tutored by them, because I was already a man when I met you, a full man, and I was already trained too, was already with one of the best bands in the world I was part of, and they thought, well, this man is it, but look, no, persons that were more qualified than I was, more skilled than it was, and were tutors and know what to look for, saw you being able to get 10 times better. So speak on the importance, right? Speak on the importance, bro, of having a tutor or mentor like we say, you can speak from both aspects, because all education, right? You're learning, you're grasping the knowledge, you're going through the important steps. You understand? So already you got a tutor, like Turo, who's a personal tutor, already go BCC and enroll in a program. I want you to speak to the importance of tutoring or mentoring when you want to meet that next step.
Yeah, well, important. It is very important, right? Especially within our context here in Barbados, right? You're going to realize that there are certain things, like within a very small space, 166 square miles, we have so many persons who do the same thing as you. And not only do it, but do it at a very high level, right? So really and truly coming up as a younger person, right? You're going to realize very quickly you need to listen to some of the older people, some of the persons who've been doing it for a while, who've been doing it much way longer, who went through probably some of the same struggles that you went through, right? Sometimes you take things with a pinch of salt because you realize times change, and perhaps you realize at some point you still have to gauge if the advice you're being given was really meant for a different time, right? And then, but you still have to, you go and listen, you go and get under some of the people, learn what they learned. So a lot of the guys now are willing to share information that they perhaps took 20 years in trial and error to realize, all right, this is the way to go. And they are willing to tell you this, and you are 1 year in. You understand? Like, a guy probably went through 20 years trying and failing, and upon his success is now the person that can tell you, whether it be in a classroom or mentorship or backstage at the event, they can tell you, well, from my 20 years of playing and having certain fallbacks, this is how it could be done. And you don't have to fall back the same way now over the next 20 years, right? And they think that has been happening, right? I think you could see in a lot of our, I would say, especially the younger keyboardists and wind instrument players, there are a lot of them that are playing at BCC at a level that you could tell, okay, when I was now leaving school going into BCC, we didn't play like this, right? So a lot of times you could tell, well, yeah, this is because somebody went through it and they're teaching now and they're showing people, all right, this is the way to go. So they're going that direction a lot earlier and getting better results in a shorter space of time, I think.
Well, yes. This is Mark Ford, you have an album coming out. Charlie's going to tell you about when the album coming out, why the reasons for bringing the album now, the journey recording album. We are talking to Mark Ford. Remember, today is powered by the NTA training, nta.training.org.bb. Visit, or you can visit nta.org.bb, training.nta.org.bb. The website is absolutely free. Over 1,000 free courses for all Barbadians. training.nta.org.bb. Ronnie.
Yes, sir.
Right, this is an interesting question too. Coming up in your field, bro, because you, this isn't a secret, you and Carol Roberts and Dennis, the three persons that all speak about that, but my heroes, right? Like, I look at as mentors, and then getting to work with all three. You in your field, both in music and on radio, you see the benefits of persons having a mentor underneath them, and how did you, what were you able to realize from those persons who had mentors? What were the ways they benefit from you observing and being one yourself?
At this stage, I'm 51, so I appreciate what I was taught more at this age, which is the age that most of them were, or at least closer to, when they were mentoring me or teaching me. So it's like being a father, I find myself thinking and remembering what my father was doing and what he was saying at the same age that I am now, because I am the same age that he was when he died. So it's a similar thing for me when I look at people like the Admiral, people like David Ellis, Vic Fernandes, of course, and, well, John Barry, he's died now, but I still think about the things that he taught me. So I've gone from being a newcomer in the arena, not in entertainment, because I started at 10, but in radio since 1995. And I've gone from being someone who was on standby, was watching, learning, thrust into it unexpectedly, but prepared to do it. And now I am managing and receiving applications and interest to enter at the level that I entered in 1995. So I try to use that experience and what they taught me to make it easier for persons to come into the arena, to learn and to excel. But I'm also in the business of discipline, assessment, and instructing to ensure that they don't make the same mistakes that I made and the same mistakes that I saw other people make. And it's not just to the craft, it's in life, in relationships, in money and those type of things there. So it's a holistic thing. It's a holistic thing, because you cannot be in this world with a gift and a talent and a skill and not be aware of the things that impact the destiny and the direction of what you have been given and exist as though you don't have to learn and you don't have to merge life in general and your place in this world with the talent that you have. So, but you're always learning. You're always learning. I'm always listening to other people present and share, moderate, perform, and see what they are doing that I can benefit from. And especially in Calypso, irrespective of whether in a competitive sense you have differences of opinion lyrically with others or you're in different tents, a true lover of an art form or a practice is going to acknowledge the brilliance of others. And where you see deficiencies, if you've earned that right to communicate with them, you'll mention it. And they won't take offense, and you won't take offense when they point out things to you. And these are people you're actually in the same competition with, if you want to look at Pickety Crop, for example. But in radio too, there are people that work on other stations that if I hear something good that's impressive, and I get the chance to communicate to them that was well done, I will do it. Because the reality is, in this business, people don't credit you a lot. They don't show appreciation for your talent. I'm talking about people in the business. I'm not talking about listeners or clients or people in other related. I'm talking about people that are in the same category as you. My experience is they don't tell you when you do well. They don't. 99% of the time, they will watch and they will listen and they will tell themselves he's doing good. But I think it's an attitude that gives a sense of, if I tell you too much, then you may not continue to be as good as you are. But they'll tell you when you're doing wrong. They will tell you when you haven't said the right thing, or you could have produced something better. But then again, why should they tell you every day if they have mentored you to a level of excellence? you have to get accustomed to not being told that you're doing excellently. But if you slip, they will let you know. But usually with a degree of grace and wisdom. It's one of those things that I can't call my former school teachers by their first name. I just cannot do it. So when I see them and I say, Miss, Mister, it's either they're going to say, as one told me, Ronnie, you're 50 years old. You can call me by my first name. I said, I just can't do it. You know, I had a late uncle who actually cursed me stink because I called him uncle. He said, man, not be man. You're a big man now. You can soon be a grandfather in a few years' time. You ain't going to call me that. But that's just how I am taught. And even within this business, some of my elders, I will refer to them as Mr. I don't call them by nicknames or anything. Because as long as I'm a junior, I don't think I've earned that right. It's just the way I was brought up. So mentorship is very important, but that time flies very quickly. Life flies very quickly. So you have to appreciate what you've been able to learn. I was able to leave school. I was still at Common Mere. I was in sixth form. And I would leave school and I would go to CBC. This is before I applied and got rejected three times by each company. But I would go with Admiral in CBC and I'd come to John Barry in the Pine here at River Road when he made the transfer to Yes 10-4. And I would sit opposite them and I would learn, monitor. And this happened for months. And then, of course, with Admiral, he was also managing my rap career. So we'd be in clubs, we'd be at shows. Just getting that break. Through him, I got the chance to open for Gregory Isaacs and Dennis Brown and MC Hammer and Aswad and perform virtually every venue, you know, before I was 20. So you have to learn. And let me tell you, Mark's pieces that are not on the album have introduced him to the public in a big way. Two of them. One is Friends and Family.
Yes.
With John Yard, which is a huge song.
Yeah.
And now John has gone into another audience altogether with his brilliance in I Will Remember You. But I think people have heard a lot of his songs without recognizing it's him. But now they stepped into the Crop Over Arena and said, oh, that's the guy that did that song. That's the guy that did Friends and Family. Everything Blessed and all them kind of songs. And Echo and Revival is Possible. Because his music has already broken through. But that enhances it. And then he did Party of the Year with Edwin vocals as well.
Yes.
Now here's the beauty of it.
Yes.
Steel Pan is something that visitors. Let's start with visitors. Are willing to hear 365 days when they come to Caribbean. Because that says I am in the Caribbean. The hospitality, the beaches, the atmosphere, the people. Pan is the soundtrack to life in the Caribbean. Yes, reggae and calypso and the various forms of genre, but Pan can do all of them. Right? Not every artist that does reggae or does calypso, traditional or soca, can go across genres the way Pan can. And the beauty of Pan is the song in its original form as a calypso or reggae song doesn't have to be known by the person hearing it. For example, Friends and Family. Most of the tourists that come here will not know Friends and Family. But when he plays it, dee, 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 beep, 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 beep. They like that. For them, it's a new experience and it's a new song. But they didn't have to like it based upon whether they knew the original or not. And they don't have to know his original compositions, Mark's original compositions, before they appreciate it, because they appreciate what Pan sounds like and what it is. So the difference for someone like Mark is recognizing, yes, as an artist, because I mean, we had the late, great Ken Fillmore, the professor, who did a lot of great jazz work and original work as well as covers.
Yeah.
And then we've got Lee Antigue, we've got Ziggy, you know. So we know what it is to have people who are exceptional with the instrument. But the way they play, they can be engaged economically every day. In a physical sense, every day in a content sense, because Pan also features in things like commercials, movies, and no, the people that are singing songs that Crop Over, for example, that are not established artists, the generals like the general and Rupi and Allison, and the next generation under them, and I mean under them in terms of age and progression, people like Hypersounds and Marsville, etc. And of course, you've got Rick and Ram at the top as well, and Big E. Their music becomes known before even they as artists are known by people that play Steel Pan. And then you've got, look on the cruise ship now.
That is true.
The people that haven't heard a word. They don't know what Big E sounds like. They don't know what Rupi sounds like or Allison. But the Pan just takes that song to them. You know, and let me big up Mexican. I mean, I can't. How can I forget Mexican? You know, come on. So
Ronnie, that's true. That's so true.
Yeah. So from a business viewpoint now, the panelists have to understand that they have a tremendous opportunity to have a space for themselves globally, and it's not dependent upon whether their songs are known locally or regionally or have hit Billboard or the UK top 20, like the original artists have to contend, right? So I think it's a very special thing. Even as I recall 1978, Boney M had a song called Brown Girl in the Ring. How does it start? Starts with a little pan, ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
And that's one of the most recognized pieces of Steel Pan in the entire world. It's like the saxophone solo in Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty, right? When that kicks off, you know what song that is. Same thing with Brown Girl in the Ring. And that was 78. That was 44 years ago, that little piece of Pan inside there. So for me, and then you got the songs dedicated to Pan, which I'm sure Mark can play over the years. Most work by Kitchener, mid-1980s, the absolute majestic Pan in A minor, the early 1990s, the Bee's Melody. Then you got people like the original DeFosto himself, you know. People like Shadow are hearing Pan, and it just shows you the amount of impact that Pan music, and of course Merchant Pan in Danger. Wesley will stand outside Starcom with his fist towards me if I don't mention Merchant Pan in Danger. So Pan, and of course the All Stars and the Desperados and all of these Pan orchestras over the years that have Panorama, which in and of itself is an essential part of the carnival experience in the Caribbean. And all that's extended to things like Pan Pon Sand and the investment and the interest of the National Cultural Foundation in giving Pan an opportunity. Because for too long, people felt Pan was just what this little instrument, literally, that you hear played for tourists. And it couldn't be a part of enjoyment for locals. You only have to go to the Pan events we've had here to see Pan Fusion and so on, how people really appreciate Pan as an instrument of excellence in its own right. So,
yes, they do. Beaters love a steel pan,
and it's discipline for school children. Because NIFCA, yes. I think NIFCA have like set pieces that the school orchestras play. Like in 2003, we had the NIFCA recordings here. Panic was one of those songs by Red Plastic Bag.
Yes.
So that meant you would have all the schools participating, being judged. We have recordings of the Garrison School, Springer Secondary School. It was the Garrison School then, Daryl Jordan. And then the Combermere School Orchestra as well. I think Renee Nelson was in it then, back in the early 2000s, you know?
Yeah.
That's right. So
he was actually a drummer, and he used to play the tenor pan as well.
Correct.
He is actually, I know, more or less one of the, I would say, as far as I can tell, one of the most sought after producers that we have.
For sure.
Now, especially as for it relates to like the Bashment Soca genre.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
I was actually speaking with him a while back. I was trying to say pick up a totally a Bashment Soca pan tune for Pop Over.
You should.
Right. I was trying, but
it's not trying. As long as God has given you life today, the 15th of October 2022. That concept doesn't have to wait until next year to be recorded. You and Nellix could hook up and get it going, man.
Yeah, I think
Ronnie, that would be crazy, though, man. That would be crazy, boy. Yeah.
it's just, well, it can be done, but I think the we're still tweaking things in terms of the execution of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also trying my, trying my hand, but well, if you listen like to the CD,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
All my tracks are self-produced.
Wow.
Right? So I sit behind my keyboard here in my room. I have a keyboard set. I have an electric drum set. I have my audio interface, everything set.
Mm-hmm.
And I try my best at learning. Really, one of the things that I really got out of recording the album, right, from the get-go, mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. the experience of learning how to produce the track, how to arrange the music, what works, what doesn't work, what tones work together. If I try to mix the track myself, what would it sound like?
Yeah.
As opposed to now when I do my rough mix, and then I send the individual elements to Adrian Odell, who would have mixed my stuff.
Super.
Right?
Great gentleman.
And then I hear, yeah, so when I hear like what I had, and I'm able to compare now what Odell's final project sounds like, I think that to me, a big part of this was the learning experience, right? When I record my demo at home, I record a demo, and then I go into the studio with Chris Allman, right? I would have done most of my recording in his studio,
mm-hmm.
Just for the quality of the recording.
Sweet.
So it doesn't sound like a draft that I record in my bedroom.
And you know, it's good that you say that, because in my position as a program manager and as an artist, a legitimate performer since 1981, I listen to a lot of music. I have to. And if a person produces a song and there's nothing novel about it to override a weakness in production, I have to tell a person, production-wise, this isn't cutting it. And what you have has the potential to be great. So you have to decide whether you want to get other ears that will point out some of the same things I'm telling you, and then show you a different way in terms of the tone of your snare, how hard or soft your kick is, the hi-hat pattern that you use there, them type of things. Because I would say, or if it's R&B and rap, check the tones generally over the past 2 years. This is what we're sounding like. Check the flow of the lyricist. How do you compare to that? But novelty can take a song past all of these things, but novelty is not consistent. Novelty is more of a rarity. Look at Gangnam Style. Over a billion, the first one to a billion streams. But what has Psy done since then to that level? He hasn't. He's still a popular artist, but some people will find themselves looking to do the same thing over and over again just to catch that level of interest that they got for something which was a novelty. So I'm happy to hear that. As brilliant as you are, you would say from an engineering perspective, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. The thing with novelty is, well, the whole point of novelty is that it's new, so it could only be new once.
Yes.
Right? You can't be new every tune. But beyond that, what you need, as you said, was the consistency. Right? So I think, yeah, a lot of stuff. I'm trying to produce a lot of my own tracks. I'm trying to work a lot on my... And especially if it's a case that even if in the end I decide to go with a different producer,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going with a different producer simply because, well, all right, I want a track produced and I have this guy's number, right? I go there with the knowledge of, okay, this is what he sounds like, and this is what I think this tune needs to sound like.
Excellent.
I go there with the knowledge of, okay, he's very good at this particular aspect, but he probably, from what I know of, I might know that he might not be as good as other producer, mm-hmm. and another aspect. So I would know, what do I want out of this, and decide who's going to provide that service, right? It's something that I think has helped me as an artist. From speaking to other artists who go a similar route, you could, I think you could see where the advantage plays out, right? When you go to, by the time you've done a certain amount of work yourself, you know when, all right, this guy is taking too long to do this task. This is not the standard that it's supposed to be done at. Or, all right, the price that he's charging isn't the going rate. You would know certain things simply because you have the experience of having done it yourself. Mm-hmm. Maybe not to the same level, but you have the experience of knowing, all right, this is where it was supposed to be done. This is how it was supposed to be done. This is the required standard. You also start to realize at some point, all right, I can compare what I did myself to the work I got maybe from another service provider. And maybe I get to hear, all right, there's a negligible difference. Perhaps I could continue doing this myself. Right? Perhaps this doesn't need to cost me what it's costing me, because clearly what I'm already doing on my own is comparable to what other persons are already putting out. Right. So I think the whole process, especially with this debut album, doing a lot of the groundwork on my own before going to other industry professionals, it helped me in terms of just figuring a lot of stuff out. So by the time I record, well, really and truly, a lot of my stuff going forward, by the time the second album come out, like, I have all confidence that the second album will be twice as good as this one.
Excellent. Excellent. That's a very humble approach.
That's brilliant, Ronnie. That's brilliant, Ronnie.
It's such a humble approach for someone that has so much talent and has proved it over and over. I see you with your T-shirt, your polo shirt. The branding... You know, people, the fashionable phrase now, I'm protecting my brand. Now, that's different from a brand of cereal, bleach, which we know is the hypochlorous iron, but somehow you pay twice as much for particular brand as opposed to the other one. All that's marketing, I guess. How do you present your brand? Do you have a company name that differs from your name? Or do you think that keeping your name makes it better for you establishing yourself?
I think that keeping my name, keeping my name on it, I think is something that is just always something I'm more comfortable with. Not necessarily comfortable with like coming up with a moniker that I have to use every time I hit on stage, or another name that person see me, they don't realize it was me.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? Yeah. the most I did, well, the person who designed the logo actually purposely decided to use the name, right? I was actually thinking of using like a pan in my logo, but the graphic designer, shout out to Linnell Creative, Linnell Russell, also sings by the name Larix.
Excellent. Right?
But I remember one of her things that she said was, yeah, you're playing pan right now, but next week you can play drums. And the week after that, you're going to play a keyboard. Mm-hmm. And then the week after that, you're going to be in studio.
Right.
The week after that, you're going to be teaching. and she said, you're going to have to do all of this with a pan in your logo. So what you could do is she put the name Mark Ford Music under like a music staff. And she said, well, here is your branding. And when you play a steel pan, then you can put a steel pan on the album cover. But persons don't need to see a pan in the logo while you're playing keyboard and drumming and doing the other things that you do while you're arranging, when you're composing, when you're in studio, right? So I think there was even wisdom in that, in learning how to set my branding in such a way that it wasn't really limited to, all right, Mark only plays pan, right? So, I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at my social media handles too, all of them are Mark the Pan Man, right? So that kind of limits it, but not really. I don't think there would be a clearly defined advantage to switching all of them to Mark Ford Music, right? because Mark the Pan Man is actually something that I think a guy at church actually started using it, right? He's doing it like Mark the Pan Man.
Wow.
And he's saying it over and over and it became catchy. So it's like, well, if there's something catchy that someone else came up with, perhaps it resonates with others as well. So
and he kept using it. And you gotta be good. And you gotta be good. And you gotta be good at it that people will refer to you as that too. So that's the other thing. Like obviously when you're young, you won't know it. But you would know like we would call Ronnie a historian, we would call Ronnie an encyclopedia. We don't call Ronnie that because he memory bad. You get me, he's quite a quick memory good. So people call you Mark the Pan Man. No, they got a million Pan Man. People don't call other people that name the Pan Man, they call you Mark the Pan Man because that man is really playing that pan. Like you see somebody getting called like young Ronnie, you see me batting left handed, but if a good left hand batsman come out, man, they call you Larry. You know what I mean? In my time, especially good. If you're dribbling real good, people call you Maradona. No, they may call you Messi. If you are good, you know what I mean? Or you know, they may call you that name, that associated thing. So Mark the Pan Man, subconsciously, you get that name. And that's how it always see you, though. That's how it always see you, you know, when you're playing pan. You know what I mean? But they always know you much more than just pan. But just that, use play the pan in such a way that it feel different, Ronnie. Not just sound different, it feel different. But Ronnie, man, before we hear some music from Mark again, right? When you answer that question just now, he gave a really deep answer. Like, what? Just seeing the name on his shirt clicked out to you, or you had a reason? Because that was a really good question. What was the reason that I questioned that you thought to answer that question about the name,
well,
and the branding?
Often you would recognize phenomenal talent trading as a different name. For example, the company that handles the business of the artist isn't usually the name of the artist. And
true.
As Mark pointed out, as Larix pointed out, he does more than play pan. So he's not Mark the Pan Man, Mark the Drummer Man, Mark the Keyboard Man, with equal recognition or distinction attached to using that. He could play all three, for sure, but he's known as the Pan Man. So as opposed to Panorific Entertainment,
I get you.
Mark Ford plays when you book him through Panorific Entertainment, but it's Mark Ford we're talking about here from the start. And perhaps at this stage of the business, that's ideal for him. And he may decide, Mark might decide, well, I'm doing a bit more than this now. I want to branch out into other things. He would create something specific for that and keep his music separate. But some people from the start would be housing everything under a particular name. So that's why. But standing out in Barbados and the Caribbean as himself,
yes,
that makes sense too. You know, and then establishing that reputation in Barbados. You think of names like Roger Gibbs, you know, Mr. Impact, Andy. So you would see as the years go by, and of course it was Booney. Let's not forget Booney as well. Everybody, I mean, come on, especially with the hexagonal hat, you know, those puff hats.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was
the
him.
Boomer.
But
yeah,
doesn't his son play pan as well?
Yeah, his son also plays.
Right. So it shows you, and then we've got Morgan. Morgan plays pan as well. Great percussionist again. That used to be with Splash Band. I think it's David Morgan. So
yeah,
the panists in Barbados are recognized, you know, and that always gives you the image of Barbados has a place for pan. Smokey was very strong about pan being recognized more. So things like Pan Pony Sand, that was a blessing to him because he would sing about those type of things. But my question now would be, hotels, cruise ships have always been seen as traditional places for pan in general. Not to keep it there, but many people got opportunities to learn their craft, not just pianists, but musicians generally and vocalists, first time on a cruise ship versus the 50th time they're on the cruise ship. When you see them the 50th time, there were 49 other times that brought them to that standard that they are in the 50th time. Have you had an opportunity to be in that arena, cruise ships and hotels? Because like I said, you come in from overseas and you've got the sun, hopefully most of the time. You've got beautiful weather and you've got the sand and you've got the sea. And then you hear that pan there when you're coming in, but then featured as well as a performer when it's time for entertainment night. What's it like for you if you've experienced that?
Okay, well, I've done, yeah, quite a bit of, quite extensively hotels in Barbados, right? I've done that. I've been doing it. We currently still play. I play every Monday night with a band as well. I think one of the advantages that you tend to get with the hotel playing in Barbados with the Steel Pan is that it tends to be, I want to say, there's an advantage to it, and there's a part of it that can be a limitation if you allow it to be. So when you're playing at the hotel and you have a steady hotel gig in that arena, you always get very accustomed, number one, to playing in public, right? I think that's one of the advantages, that when we look, well, academically, beyond secondary school, if you go to like BCC, UK Phil now has a program, right? But even when they were studying overseas, you always tend to realize which students in the music program are the ones that are constantly performing and which ones are those who are no showing stage fright in their exam, right? Or at their recital or at the portfolio in Frank Conlon Hall, right? Last semester, myself and another tutor, we were grading, and there was a young lady, she came and did a gospel set. And I remember the other guy that was grading the recital, he said, "You could tell who does worship lead every Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. You can tell who does this regularly. You can tell who's accustomed being on stage, who's accustomed performing, who has an extensive repertoire, right? Who is accustomed to reading the audience to see what should be played now, right?" One of the complaints that I remember I used to get regarding another steel pan player, when I was performing a particular restaurant venue, I used to play on one Sunday, another guy used to play the other Sunday, so we would alternate. And I remember a lot of times when it came, the staff would tell me, "Oh man, the other guy does play the same songs in the same order, and they're all very old songs. He doesn't bring anything new."
Okay.
Right. So, but then you would also hear from some of the older players that they would say, "Oh, but we get complaints from the patrons about some of the younger players as well. So they want to play their new music. They want to play what is currently popular. They don't look in the audience to realize that this is a
Yellow Bird, Beautiful Barbados.
Yeah.
Hot.
They don't look in the audience to realize that this is a over 50s European crowd."
Yes.
Right? And you are currently playing under 20s Bajan music.
Gotcha.
Right? So there's the advantage in that, being able to say, "All right, what music do we play for this crowd? How do we hold them for this hour set? How do we hold them for this 45 minutes break and come back? What do we play when they come back?" But then there could also be the limitation in that in a lot of these settings, you are not really featured performer. You are more like dinner music, a dinner set.
Yes.
Right? And I think that is something that I personally had to start to break out of. Right. I personally had to say, all right, at some point when I am being featured, when I'm being not dinner set, I'm not a featured artist, I need to learn to like talk to the crowd.
Correct.
Through the microphone. Because normally you go to the hotel, you play a song after song, you don't really talk. Right? I must now learn to address the audience to be a little more engaging.
You have to become a raconteur.
Yeah, I must now become the performing artist, not the dinner entertainment.
That's right.
I must put on a show. Right. So yeah, it could be a limitation in that sense if you allow it to be, if it becomes all that you do. Right. I've never done the cruise ships per se. I have performed on a couple ships that have docked here, right? Where they allow some persons to go on and perform. I've been a part of that. I've performed, I think
speak
I did
speak about Qatar when you finish. Speak yeah. about
that's no, actually the next thing.
Qatar.
Right? Because Qatar now was actually Qatar was a similar thing. Qatar was a hotel job. So we were performing, myself and a guy called Dwayne Gill. Dwayne is actually
he's also
featured on the album.
Wow.
Right? A song called Bamboo Bling.
Exactly how many instruments does he play again?
All of them, right?
It's incredible.
Like Dwayne literally just picks up things and plays them. Right? That's it. Like, I remember we were in Qatar, Dwayne bought an instrument and played it next week.
Wow.
Right? An oud. Arabian oud. He just he saw it there, he bought it. I went home and practiced. Right?
I mean, I wonder people know how crazy that is, and these things that will take for years to play. And man will pick it up and gig with it, like he'd have played it for years. That is a unique talent. He's a Barbadian and a Combermere Old Scholar as well.
True. Correct.
It's true.
Mr. Right. Dwayne Gill, man. I can't exaggerate how great he truly is.
Yeah.
And it must be good to feature someone like him on an album of yours, you know, someone that you come up with and equally as brilliant, because you know we marvel over Dwayne Gill and you know we marvel over you too, and I'm glad you are aware of it. But like Ronnie said, so humble with it, because Ronnie, we go crazy with Mark play, you know what I mean? And you know many people don't impress me. Mark was in ensembles with Mark all over. I was still freak out every time he played, like nothing, you know, private gigs, and it was still like, this man is crazy. And Dwayne Gill on that level, it must be very rewarding, Mark, to be able to work with your peers, especially someone that is young like you and come up with you. That feeling got to be very rewarding, huh?
Yeah, working with Dwayne, I think, was, ironically, I see Dwayne not only as a peer, but at the time when I was at the Combermere School, when I first joined the band, I think Dwayne was on his way out of school. So he would have been, as a student, arranging songs for the band. When it was time for the band to get a new tutor, Dwayne would have been the person that they brought back in now as the tutor for the steel band, right? So I see him not only as a peer, but really and truly as one of my former teachers, right? So me and Dwayne would have been in Qatar. We played in Doha. It was a steady hotel gig. We played 6 days a week, one off day, two sets every day. The money was good. And I think we were among the first performers there. We performed it was a new hotel, no opening.
Wow.
Right? So they wanted steel pan music. The guy that provides the entertainment for them actually used to live in Barbados.
Wow.
So he would have reached back out to Barbados for a steel pan player that he knew.
You remember his name?
That guy, the agent.
The chap responsible for entertainment, yeah.
His name is Scott. I do not know his last name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Knowing VOB, I'm sure that name will be WhatsApped at some point tonight.
Yeah, but I do know his name is. I actually did another gig with him, December, where he provided entertainment for a resort in Canowan, in the Grenadines.
Wow. All
right. So he would have. He reached out once again to his Barbadian contacts, and I think Canowan was the first time I ever actually met him directly.
Amazing. Right?
But he always reaches back out to the persons. He's one of his people here when he wants things like steel pan and duos for gigs and trios, like small setups, vocalists and whatnot. So we were there, we played every, more or less every day, one off day a week. And once again, it had the potential to be a dinner side, a dinner set kind of gig where you never really feature if you allow it to become that, right? I remember one of the things that always amazed me was there were so many persons out there who had never heard of Barbados, who were like, if I remember, there was one guy that I think I pulled up like Google Earth or something, and they showed him Barbados on a map. He was like, well, how you get here then? Like, what were you doing in Qatar? Right? Like, this real far out the way. Right? There are always guys that when they played the pan would come and try to like look under it. Like, where does it plug in? Like, where the sound, where does the sound come from? Like, that happened. Right? I remember we were on the staff bus. Where
the sound coming from?
Yeah, like somebody was trying to figure out like, where does plug in? Like, how? Like, what is it made of? Like, so he's just hit it.
It's magic.
Yeah, like, people that saw it for the first time was in so much awe, right? People that heard of Barbados, like, I think, because out in that side, a lot of you guys do not hear of us individually. But in the Middle East, we know that countries like Sri Lanka, Pakistan, India, a lot of these guys are really big on cricket. So they know of West Indies. But I got the impression that a lot of them didn't seem to realize that West Indies was a group of countries, right? They seemed to believe it was all one country. So we had, I kind of had to specify, all right, yeah, so there's West Indies, and within the West Indies, there's Barbados, right? And the people that know of Barbados would know, oh, that's where Rihanna is from, right? And
so Rihanna has made a big difference in recognition of Barbados for anybody else who's representing Barbados.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, because when they go, the persons who actually do know where Barbados is, they know Barbados as, oh, that's where Rihanna is from.
Yeah, wow.
So I remember as well, I lost my train of thought there. But yeah, I remember being on the staff bus and the Qatar Top 40 played the Top 40 tunes. And I remember Cover Drive had a song in the Top 40.
Excellent.
Right.
They had a UK number one too, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I wasn't thinking I'm going to go to Qatar and turn on the radio and hear Cover Drive.
Wow.
Right. Like here on the radio, these guys that I met before, guys I knew, right? Guys I've, well, one or two of them that I had played with before. So it's always an interesting experience. Even Canowan, right? I would have done Canowan December, myself and Imani. Shout out to Imani, the vocalist on my version of
Beautiful Barbados. Yeah, when I heard it, correct. I said, that's Imani.
Yeah. So we would have done that performance as well in Canowan. And there are always people who are appreciative of the instrument, who are appreciative of the music. It also gives sometimes I think it gives you the reassurance to be a little bit more forward with what we do, what we represent, what we put out. Because I do recall sometimes, you will play some of the typical pop tunes and whatnot, and great, people like it. But then I think our biggest response was always when we played something Caribbean sounding.
Yeah.
Right? Even if it's not actually from the Caribbean, right? But things like if we play like a lot of reggae, a lot of the reggae's, people liked it, the soca. There was a time we played a Madonna tune, La Isla Bonita.
Yes, sir. Right?
Madonna not being from the Caribbean, but the song was produced with the island kind of feel.
Especially right? How Americans tend to see and hear the Caribbean.
Yeah, right.
Flowered shirts.
The Caribbean, the way that they interpret it. Right? And that is the one tune that I remember guy get up from eating and stand up on the table and dancing.
Beautiful.
And of course, you know, that setting the staff can't tell he ain't no, right?
It's true.
So,
but do you find, you mentioned reggae, songs like One Love by Bob Marley, Calypso, Hot, Hot, Hot by Arrow. I mean, those have to be staples for you to draw on at some point, because those are the type of songs that people see as representing the Caribbean at the very highest level.
Yeah, because those are songs that more or less would have, those are the songs that would have made it into the international market.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, we can always play a lot of the newer music, right? That always gets a very good response as well. But a song like Hot, 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 that was a mega hit,
mm-hmm.
right? A song that, songs that more or less, that we might not always see it that way. There may be songs that we hear and be like, especially as a steel pan player, honestly, there are some songs we get tired of playing.
Wow.
There are some songs we get tired of, all right, of being requested, right? A lot of the island tunes, like I know steel pan players that, the tourist requests Yellow Bird, and he pretend he does, the guy pretend he don't know Yellow Bird.
No way.
Right? Right? Like, he was just like, he was like, nah, I just not playing it today. Like, I tired playing Yellow Bird. Right? I've seen a guy pretend not to know any of these tunes.
Wow.
Right? Like, I've already...
I see it. I can't say I see it, boy. I've seen it. I've
like,
seen
I watch a guy pretend he didn't know it. Yellow Bird, because... It's like every time, so right, but these are a lot of these songs that the people know them. When they come here, that's what they want. They came here for that, right? That is what we marketed. We marketed, yeah, come to the island,
yes,
sea, sun, sand, paradise,
yeah,
on the beach, right? So when they came, they come here expecting that,
yeah.
So it might not be what we want to put out all the time. Right, I know pan players has refused to wear the, you know, the kind of island shirts that see.
Yes, the palm tree shirts. Yes.
Yeah, I know a man that refuse. Guys refuse to wear those.
And then the hat with the band around it.
But to be honest, yeah. Ronnie, right? You know that. You know, although I know, Ronnie, you know, it's still expect to see pan players dress like that. I don't know what is so. Listen, right, Nobby, it's so engraved in me. That I expect to see pan players dressed like that, but I know pan players don't like dressing like that all the time. But I just expect to see it.
Well, I mean, when you see people performing at a jazz festival and so on, they're dressing like superstars. But you'd expect, people expect that if they go into a hotel setting or a cruise ship setting, you know, like they're on the Love Boat.
Yes, correct.
You got black pants, maybe white shoes, and that turquoise blue shirt. With yes. the large pockets, and then you've got maybe a coral necklace, a light brown a Caribbean style fedora hat with the red band around yes. around the bottom of the hat, which fits on your head. So yeah, on the top of your head. Yeah, so it is like that. But Mark, I just want to say that what you've produced is superb work. Give us an insight into some of the songs that you've created, your originals. I mean, you got things like Homeland, which has like that national anthem feel to the top, is a vibe. I heard some rhythm poetry, I think, in Island in the Sun. So you put all these things together, so it didn't sound like something in 1950 per se.
Correct. Right. I think even at the top of Island in the Sun, I purposely produced the song like at the beginning songs, like the typical islandy, like marimba,
mm-hmm.
bolero kind of feel, but right. then it goes into something a bit more modern, right? Shout out to DJ Simmons also. He's the poet that he wrote his verse for that tune, Island in the Sun. So what I really wanted to do for this particular album, this album was part sponsored by the National Cultural Foundation. Right.
Salute to the ACF.
So I would have received one of the cultural industries grants, a grant that they did, the COVID grant.
Yeah.
Right. Like they. So in my, I was already recording the album. I did not have this theme in mind. I just started recording some of my originals, but then when I went to Allman to record. It was actually his idea. He said, well, NCF is doing the grant. he thinks this is something that they would buy into.
For sure.
So he recommended Well A Play.
Where will it be available that everyone will be able to purchase it? Where would it be available?
Yeah, currently I have CDs. I also have download cards. It's also going to be available more or less everywhere online. Right? Mm-hmm. So I've already registered with TunePoor as it relates to digital distribution.
Yes.
So it's going to be on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify,
right?
YouTube Music, anywhere that online music can be found.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Search for one name.
There, right? You can search Mark Ford, My nice. Island and Me.
Nice.
And it's gonna be right there. All of my stuff is going online.
Ronnie, can we get a little piece? Ronnie, can we get a little piece of that intro? A little piece before Mark go?
Yeah, we can do that. I just thought it relevant to ask Mark. How many calls do you get for legal services?
For legal services,
because there's a well-known lawyer that used to be a moderator on this program called Mark Ford, and usually when you have the same name and you're known in Barbados, people sometimes wonder if you are the other person. I'm sure that if he's been asked, are you going to be doing a concert for us tonight? He might play another instrument, but I'm not sure he plays band because he loves entertainment. You'd see him at a number of events, checking out performers and so on. But has anyone ever asked you if you're a lawyer?
No, no one has asked me if I'm a lawyer.
Well, I think
I realized that Mark Ford is a fairly common name. I think there are like two Mark Fords on my street alone.
Wow.
Well, so
my suggestion to you would be start to read law. So if someone asks you a question that while playing, you can say, well, meet me after my first set and I'll just give you a couple of tips there. It's incredible. All right, so which...
No problem.
Let's take an island in the sun and then we'll come back because we've got Captain Bubbler waiting and we're going to share the tips as well. So let's take an island in the sun.
As ice blocks collide of liquids that smile across lips as we sing. Satisfied, we rise like blades of grass pushing past concrete on sidewalks. We bump and dodge any pothole bold enough to slow our roll. We know too much about roads as I steer across every road and gap that connects back to family and friend. There's no lack of decoration that paints my island. The chatter of the language coloring the voyage from beach lines to bridgestone lines. The rhythm of laughter, a part of a broad street of culture. Dialect destined to identify whether it fly from a mouth or from a piece of paper. It's a foundation of fun. Spirit that sparkles when the sea welcomes the sun. A horizon of possibilities that reveals no matter what ground my foot pun. I'm reminded of home when I feel the sun.
So Sluggy, that's a snippet of a great track, Island in the Sun. To me, it's also got that vibe of All Night Long by Lionel Richie and Love's Got Me Dancing on the Floor by Third World. It's really got that rhythm and feel of the Caribbean and dancing and warmth. It's a song about the sun, so it has to feel warm. It's not something that can make you frown or depressed or feel like you're going through autumn where things are dying or winter where things are dead. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. Sluggy?
Oh, yes, man. Great work by Mark. All the time, great work, man. I've known him for years and he's always been excellent and yet a very, very humble young man. Saying that I appreciate and Mark, I really appreciate you coming on and having the conversation with Ronnie and I and sharing some insight into your world and your perspective on music and your art form, and then helping us to know about other cultures as well, how other people see our music or view our music. Today was really insightful, and the music match, Ronnie, the music matches Mark's intelligent, you know, the music sung really well and he represents itself really well, and I think Barbados, you should continue supporting good artists like Mark Ford and good brands like Mark Ford Music. Go and expect bigger things in the future. He already said, Ronnie, that he's looking for his next album to be 10 times better from what he learned from his first album, which is quite ambitious, and I'm guessing he's going to be able to achieve that. So Mark, before you go, I want you to tell Barbados where you can find your album again, and I want you to give them your handles again and shout out anyone that worked with you that you want to pay your tributes to before we go. And on behalf of myself and all the Starcom, thank you very much for coming on to BG Rhythm and Rhyme, and big ups to the NTA. It's over to you, my brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Wow, it was great to be here.
You're welcome, bro.
The album is going to be available everywhere online, Apple Music, Spotify, iTunes. There are also physical copies. There are CDs, download cards. The album is going to be launched on Saturday, November 5th. I'm going to do an album launch concert at the Daphne Joseph Hackett Theater in Queen's Park. That's Saturday, November 5th at 7 p.m. I'll be there. Imani will also be performing. DJ Simmons, who we just heard on the track, will be performing. Kweku Jalani will also be performing. Currently, we have another surprise guest artist who hasn't been announced yet, but there's a lot going on. A lot is going to be in store. So you can follow me on Instagram at Mark the Panman, Mark MarkDe Panman, and I'm on Facebook with the same thing, Mark the Panman. You can check my page. All my social media is the same thing. Before I go, I'd like to always give credit to the NCF, not only for supporting the production of the album, but also, of course, well, the Daphne Joseph Hackett Theatre, where the album launch is going to be, it's their space as well, right? So they've always been very consistent with their support. They just always got to beat them up every time.
They've been doing a tremendous job in managing the business and the creative side of culture. And when you look at the COVID period that we had with lockdowns and opportunities which were cut for many people, especially within the arts, the NCF stepped up big time and allowed many persons to be able to put their work together professionally and out there. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for being here today. It's been a tremendous experience sitting back, listening, and also being asked to offer some insight. A wonderful project, great work, and I know that by the grace of God, you're going to continue to climb. I mean, the talent will put you before kings. Your gift will take you into places that only God can understand. He's preparing you for that. Thank you for coming through this evening.
Yes, NTA training, training.nta.org.bb. training.nta.org.bb. Over 1,000 free courses at your own convenience. That's no right. Data or Wi-Fi charges.
Well, let's look at this week's featured courses. nti.org.bb. Focus on music. Music for wellness. You don't need to have musical talent to use music to enhance your well-being and even your health. You can learn simple techniques to enrich your mind, body, and spirit through music. The methods can be applied in your daily life, particularly when you are feeling down or stressed out. In this course, you will learn not only how to listen to music in a new way, but also how to listen to the impact that music has on you. You will find out how to care for yourself by practicing coping techniques that are supported by music that is special to you. Beginner level, offered by the Berklee College of Music, approximately 11 hours to complete. Top review says, this course was very worthwhile doing. Putting in the effort increased my awareness of well-being. I felt it made me a better person as well as a more proficient musician. Course number two, developing your musicianship. If you have a passion for music and are curious about how it works, or if you're a musician who learned to play by ear without formal study, this course will provide you with an engaging introduction to key concepts and approaches needed to understand, create, and perform contemporary music. Mixed level, offered by the Berklee College of Music, approximately 17 hours to complete. Top review says, this course is an incredible one to kickstart as a musician. It allows one to grow and learn basic musical chords and notes. It gave me deep knowledge about harmony, ear training, and song form. Course number three, Music Business Foundations. Whether you're a music creator, consumer, or facilitator of this process, you'll want to understand the history, underpinnings, and basics of the music business. Course author John Kellogg offers students the opportunity to learn the fundamental principles of developing a new music business for now and the future. Mixed level, offered by the Berklee College of Music, approximately 12 hours to complete. Top review says, this course was very useful and important to me. I plan on venturing into the music world very soon. And knowing, equipping myself with all of these skills will come in pretty handy. Thank you immensely. A snapshot of the courses we offer every Barbadian for free on nti.org.bb. There's something for everyone on our platform. On our platform, there's something for everyone. There's something on our platform for everyone. Sluggy Dan, take it away. Over to you, Sluggy.
Station, Bajan, Rhythm and Rhyme every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Nobby, Ronnie Clark, Legend, thank you, my brother. We'll do it again. Bubbler, I will be locked on for sure. I'm not going nowhere, my brother.
I heard it was you in the bar last week watering down the drink, Sluggy.
Yes, it was. Indeed, it was. That is me at all times.
Give the people a strong drink. Stop putting the water in the drinks, man. Come on.
Yes, I agree. I can't handle that. Barbara's noise don't hang my hat in the shame. I just admit all those dogs. I'm horrible.
Well, listen, so always you're in the bar.
So Ronnie gets saving the money.
You're in the bar. You're working. Make sure this week, tonight, you give the people the full strength, all right?
Well, the people are getting the full thing for sure.
Okay, all right.
Full drinks, Babla. So crank the music.
All right. Thank you, Sluggy.